Heritage is at the heart of every community. Here in County Monaghan, we have many significant and outstanding natural and cultural places to be understood, loved and cared for. I am Shirley Clarkin, Heritage Officer with Monaghan County Council. Today we are on the Black Pig's Dyke, an enigmatic monument close to the village of Scots House, County Monaghan. This monument travels for 10 kilometres in this area and is known as the largest Iron Age earthwork in Europe. We are here today to discuss its values from a social point of view, educational and archaeological, and to meet the landowners whose farms this monument travels through. The Black Pig's Dyke, or Worm Ditch, is an incredibly important, internationally significant monument, but it's also locally significant for the local people who live here.
My name is Ronald Soden. We're here in the townland of Latticrossan. I grew up beside what we knew as the Worm Ditch. It's more commonly known now as the Black Pig's Dyke. But where I lived at home, which was about a mile and a half over the road, it ran by the house. At that time, we would have thought nothing of it, only it was a big ditch. There was no much word of what it was about. So in later years then, different people was taking an interest in it, and we had different groups came out to the farm to look at it, which was great. I got an interest in it then when there was people was coming out and talking about it and what it was all about. We still were learning all along. I think there's still a bit of a mystery what exactly it was.
The Worm Ditch, or the Black Pig's Dyke, as it became known more recently as, I suppose, is one of the oldest earthworks in Ireland that's remaining anyway. So it's of Iron Age date, so it's about 500 BC, and some parts of it maybe are earlier than that, or in fact Bronze Age. It's known as the largest Iron Age earthwork in Europe because it's cover a large area sort of South Ulster. So I would consider it a very important earthwork, particularly when you consider the toil that went into making it. So, I mean, it was all hand dug. They cut and they filled as they went to create the ditches on the two banks. And it must have been a tremendous community effort to create it in the first place. For whatever reason, the community had to come together to build it, or they had to be diverted away from their normal farm activities. Or I suppose a load of slaves had to be brought in to build it for maybe a very powerful elite that were here at the time. So whatever kind of remnants are left in the landscape, I always feel it's got that little, this is those little fragments of history are so intriguing.
It runs right through the centre of my farm, right through the middle of it. It's like two high banks and hollow in the middle of it. In years past it would have been a lot higher, I'm sure, that have eroded over the years, but it runs right through. It's really only, there's trees growing on it, some of it is growing over. There was a part of it over the road in Aharea that there was a dig done on back in 82. They done a dig on it and found a bit of charcoal and a few things from past to try and get dates and whatever on it. We've had a lot of different tours to it. I myself organised for the school children to come out for them to have a look at it, and the late Sean McQuillan went into the school and done a talk on it with the children. At one time I would have thought nothing of it. You could have dug it out and nobody would have passed any remarks. But now that it's protected, you think a lot more of it now. And it's nice to have it through the farm. It's nice to see people come, and I do welcome anyone that wants to come and have a look around.
We have all these theories about what was its purpose. You know, was it for territorial defence? Was it for the movements of cattle? Allow the movements of people safely between different places, or even onto the lakes? Because a lot of it actually ends at a lake and then sort of starts on the other side. Was there some sort of a cosmic alignment with it? Or was it a following a line of ore? There are all these really quite mad theories on one hand. But then, as Colin O'Driscoll said to me, he said, "Shirley, you have to think like an Iron Age person, and you can't think rational 21st century thoughts. You have to try to put yourself in their place and what they knew about the world at the time." So I think that's an interesting thing. So, I mean, farmers like Ronnie here are just amazing because they're so enthusiastic about this earthwork, which in a way is an impediment to farming. You know, it runs right through his farm. You know, he has to work his way around it to get to his other fields. He's preserving it here in his landscape. He's bringing people to it. I mean, that's what heritage is all about, you know, local people learning and appreciating what they have on their land, something going back millennia, and then being able to show it to new generations and future generations. And I think that's just a fantastic legacy to have.
I'm just looking at this very square stone here now.
Yeah. No, we're just looking at the side of the bank here, and the rain is eroding it a bit. So we're just looking at a big massive stone that came out, is sticking out of it actually.
With a very flat face on it.
With a very flat face on it, yeah. Well, you see, that is the thing about these banks, you know. When you get archaeologists in to dig them and to do it layer by layer, you know, like Aidan has done in 1982 in Aharay, that's when you start to see little discoveries and everything can be mapped and measured, and you don't realise the significance of these little things until you have done all of the real scientific work, and then suddenly things start to come to the fore, and that's when you find bits of charcoal or, you know, the places where the timbers were put in for the palisade fence. You can measure them, get an idea of the size, and it all starts coming to life then. You can really start reconstructing maybe what it was like in the past, you know.
There can be a lot of things buried that you don't really realise
is there.
Absolutely.
There, yeah. Yeah.
I'm Aidan Walsh, I'm an archaeologist, and in 1982 I got a grant to do an excavation because nobody had ever looked at the Black Pig's Dyke archaeologically before. It had been known about, talked about, lots of folklore about it, nobody knew what it was. When I was a student of archaeology, we were told it could be anything from a Cromwellian road to a copy of the Roman walls. So we got a grant to actually establish what it was, when was it put up.
We're walking along here on Ronnie's farm, along the ditch between the two banks. There's quite a few beech trees that were planted, I suppose, 100 years ago or something like that, Ronnie, probably aren't they?
Yeah, they're a long time ago.
Sort of like an avenue of trees in the middle of it at the moment. So that kind of gives you an idea of the scale of it, actually. But the ditch would be really infilled. You know, a lot of the soil would have eroded from the top of the banks and infilled this. So originally this would be much deeper. And like an archaeological dig here would be able to find the original level to this, you know.
I think the bigger bank actually has been taken away.
Yeah,
here.
Do you?
My
is
impression...
The bigger one is that one there?
From looking at the...
And that's it over there?
I think it's spread up there. You see the big dip there?
Yeah.
Yes.
That wouldn't be found elsewhere. So most of the earthwork in this county are two banks and two ditches. And the northernmost bank, because they're nearly all running east-west,
yes.
The northernmost bank is big.
Yes.
Then a deep ditch, then a shallow lower bank. And then no ditch normally.
Yes.
So I'm not sure whether I'm looking at the remains of the smaller one here or the bigger one. And only an excavation would establish it. But I do see in the field here evidence for a lot of taking away of soil and spreading soil.
Yes, it may have been levelled to make it into field at some time.
And we know from the early 19th century that the farmers were, as they put it, labouring to get rid of it because it was occupying good land.
Yeah.
And we know that was happening and that they found wood and timbers.
Uh-huh.
So we know this was going on.
It was classed more a nuisance than anything at that time.
Oh, it was definitely a nuisance to farmers then.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have machinery. So to level this was quite a bit of work.
Yes.
You know. It's small here compared to the big one at Aharea, which can, as you'll see, is half the size of a railroad bank. It's quite a big earthbank over
there. Yes,
yes.
But this has been where I think it's been levelled away. And in the county as a whole, we have 15 miles of its track marked on the maps. And about half of that is still standing. So when we go to see the big earthwork, I think you'll understand the relationship a bit more clearly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go to Aharea.
You hear the water? The road has cut right through the earthwork. There are two banks, a big northernmost bank, a deep ditch, a smaller bank here, and then a tiny ditch down there. And that's the way it goes right across this county. And we came here to dig this section in particular because you can see the stream going down through it. It's all wet, and we were hoping that would preserve remains. We were disappointed in that regard, but we had other discoveries. So we go in now.
No.
standing up on top of the big, big bank. And this is the best preserved section in this county. In fact, it's one of the best preserved sections of these monuments, which are known as linear earthworks. And there's this deep, deep ditch. Now, there's a stream running down there as well. That would have deepened it. That would have cut the ditch a bit deeper in time. So, a big ditch, a very large bank of earth, half the size of a railway embankment. It's huge. A smaller ditch here, and then a final bank there. So, 1, 2, 3, 4 features, so we call them. So, we ran a trench about a metre wide, total of about 30 metres trench. And to our disappointment, we found no artefacts. We found no timbers, which would have given us a precise date. But in the last, I think it was the second last week of the day, we stripped the sod into the field here to the north of it, and we came across evidence of a deep ditch dug into the ground, chock-a-block with charcoal, burnt timbers. And it was a metre deep, virtually, and 90 centimetres wide. It was a huge, big ditch. And we took samples from that. It was a bedding trench for a large timber fence, but a big timber fence of big oaks. Timbers themselves were something like maybe 15, 20 feet high. I'm only guessing that because they don't survive. But you don't need a big, deep ditch unless you're going very high up. We sent those samples to Queen's University, and we sent them to a Dutch university. And we got sample dates back, which said this was burned down approximately 300 before Christ up to about 50 before Christ. So that immediately told us that this was not a copy of the Roman walls in England, because they were built later than that. Then we found charcoal also within some of the banks, and we sent that away for dating. We didn't have enough to get a date from that, which was unfortunate. This new project has taken the charcoal and subjected it to new technology, and we have new dates. The first date is that the palisade was probably now built at around 100 BC to about 50 BC. But the most amazing result was this little bit of charcoal that came out of the bank. We were able to get a date for this for the first time. It's 1,000 years older. It's Bronze Age. So for the first time, we have information that this earthwork was started about 1,000 years before Christ, continued around the time of Christ, and then presumably burned and abandoned. So we have a very fascinating, enigmatic monument here that archaeologists can't quite explain yet. This earthwork was sitting in the landscape for 2,000 years, and people had completely forgotten what it was put up for. And a couple hundred years ago, people began to make stories up to explain it. And there's a number of stories, and locally it's known as the Worm Ditch, because some people thought it was to do with the serpent crawling across the land that caused this. And there's a townland nearby called Cornapaste, the Hill of the Serpent, and it goes through Cornapaste. But the other story about the origin of the dike, the big folklore explanation was that there was an enchanted schoolmaster, and the kids were going to school every day and coming home exhausted. And the parents were saying, you know, why are you so tired? What's going on at school? And they said, well, every day we go into school, the schoolmaster produces a book of magic spells, and he turns us into hares, and he turns himself into a hound, and he chases over all the hills of County Monaghan for the day. We go back to school, and he changes back into children again, and we come home exhausted, and that's why we're tired. And the parents weren't happy with that, so they ganged up, and they went down to the school one day, and they said, how do you have these magical powers? Show us what you mean. So he was quite puffed up and proud of his magical powers, so he says, well, I'll turn myself into something, and you can see that I'm real. So they said to him, turn yourself into a pig, or a boar. And he turned himself into a boar, whereupon the parents grabbed the book of magic spells, threw it on the school fire, so it was destroyed. Therefore, the schoolmaster could no longer turn himself back into a human being. And in his rage, he put his snout into the ground and he gouged this huge earthwork as he ran across the countryside. So that's kind of the story of the schoolmaster. And that versions of that story were collected in different parts of County Monaghan and were, you know, passed around as traditional beliefs. you know. And there were other stories too about the Enchanted Schoolmaster is the most dominant one. And Ronnie, you have a different...
Well, no, that's the story really that I would have heard. But I don't think it really could have happened because the Worm Ditch goes to a... runs up to a lake and starts the far side, and yeah, a pig is the only animal I think that can't swim, so I doubt if that really did happen.
It's a traditional tale,
yeah,
you know,
it's good enough to tell.
Isn't it interesting though that there's the boars were considered to be a very important, yes, feasting food in the Iron, yeah, Age, and they were considered to be very important for families of status, that they would have boars at their tables. So there is those little links as well,
there
like
are.
Why a boar and not something else. Obviously, mm-hmm, it was a giant boar to be able to gouge out such massive tracks.
I wouldn't like to
tracks.
Make the boar that made the...
Well, that's what I'm saying. It would have been enormous.
But boars, at this time, 2,000 years ago, Celtic times, the symbol of the boar appears in lots of different things.
Yeah.
It's on shields,
yeah,
it's in different types, yeah, of art. So it is a big Celtic
symbol
of strength.
Strength, yeah.
And
yeah,
so to call it the Black Pig's Dyke would be kind of part of that thinking. But it's much, much later. When it was named the Black Pig's Dyke, the people had no connection with 2,000 years ago. This,
yeah,
is a much, much later explanation for what they couldn't otherwise explain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you get it everywhere. You get fairy rings, mm, as a name for forts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get Dermot and Grainne's beds as a name for, yeah, ancient megalithic tombs. And people thought that looked like a bed.
Yeah.
So they called those Dermot and Grainne's bed after the stories of Dermot and Grainne.
Recently, there was a kind of a story that went around, and I suppose it started with Divismus Cain, from his research that this dyke was part of a larger series of dykes running across kind of South Ulster. And he then conjectured that it was a whole sort of a territorial defence for South Ulster. But it's about 90% gaps, so it was a very leaky border. But that story then went on and has been used even in more recent times by, you know, different political factions to sort of say, well, there was always a big border there, so of course, you know, we should continue in that vein.
And the fact that there was forts along it.
Yeah, there were big forts. Yeah,
yeah,
big,
would have been a lookout point probably.
Big hill forts.
Yeah.
But there were still massive gaps. So then there's the theory that, well, these were a series of earthworks constructed at the same time in a relatively similar way in different areas, you know, but running across for different sort of smaller territories. That's one explanation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or possible explanation.
Well, it was the thinking that would have been taught in schools,
yeah,
or in archaeology classes even. William Francis Divismus Cain,
yeah,
from outside Monaghan town, was famous for his studies of butterflies.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But he was also an amateur archaeologist. And he studied all the folklore about the dyke, and he studied what was on the ground, and he studied ancient Irish history, which talked about cattle raids and various goings-on. And he came up with the view that this line represented a border between Ulster and the rest of Ireland. I didn't run with his view that it was a boundary of Ulster, but I did run with his view that it was a boundary. Now more and more archaeologists would come to a different view.
Mm.
They would say, well, why was it so big? It wouldn't keep people or animals out, really, if they wanted to get through it. It is so big, it must have been some form of symbolic structure. And why was this huge palisade burned down all along its length, as far as anywhere we have discovered it, it was burned. We're now beginning to think, was it some form of enormous religious thing? We are talking about a time when people were building great big structures, possibly of religious use. And that's kind of the way thinking is moving. But more excavation and more research will help us understand better.
And it's interesting as well, isn't it, with the timing of it. You know, this was burned, and then Christianity came into Ireland, you know, slowly in 500, 600 AD. This was associated with paste or snakes, and St. Patrick got rid of the snakes in Ireland. You know, and maybe there is some symbolic there that he was quashing the religion here, or also the people here and their beliefs, and they were being slowly replaced by the Christian beliefs.
So
because there were never snakes in Ireland, you know, they never existed here. So maybe that actually was one of these fragments again of some other link, not actually, you know, the biological thing at all, but more of this symbolic.
Or would this have been looked on as a pagan monument or something, and that's why it was burned
down? Oh, they would have been pagans at that time, but maybe it was them, you know, another tribe that obviously, or...
Yeah.
Themselves, I mean, that burned it.
Yeah.
Could have been themselves.
The interesting thing is that stretches of linear earthworks are found much further south in Ireland than here.
Mm.
Westmeath, there's a good stretch near Mullingar, called the Black Pig's Dyke. Mm. In Kilkenny as well, but in Longford there's another piece called, it's called the Black Pig's Race there or something.
Yes.
They're identical in style and date to this. And it found the exact same date as here.
Yeah.
So nothing to do with Ulster, much further south.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So really, if it was a boundary, it was between different tribes. But it mightn't have been a boundary at all.
This programme has been funded by Monaghan County Council and the Heritage Council as part of the European Year of Cultural Heritage.